And welcome back to Sketchbook Audio. I'm your host, Ryan Sketch. Thanks for tuning in on this beautiful Sunday morning. I've got some great things to talk about with you guys today to bring you into the weekday feeling good. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back to Sketchbook Audio. I am your host, Ryan Sketch, and today is going to be a bit of a change from last week. Last week has been very trying for a lot of people, and it weighed heavily on my heart. And while we are still dealing with racism and the prejudice that exists in the world, there have been some positive outcomes of these riots and protests. And I can say that it looks like the riots are coming down and everything's focused on the peaceful protests. But more importantly, we are seeing a lot of the really bad police officers coming to justice, and a lot of good is coming out of that. So while it may not be the ultimate finale we are hoping for in this, it's a step in the right direction, and I think we will see a lot more of that. But when we think about civil rights and African American rights, as well as just the prejudice that has been enveloping our nation for centuries, there has been some good that came out of it. And a lot of that good I'm thinking about right now in particular was in the civil rights movements, and we had a lot of big names that came out of that era. And a lot of art that was inspired by not only the devastation, but also in the good that came from that. So I want to take a moment this week to talk about artists that really inspired or were inspired by the civil rights movements, as well as what that has transcended to today and what that means for a lot of artists today. I also want to look at the different kinds of art that have come from that and have come from ultimately the hurt and the struggle. And then I want to move into some of the artists that I've been looking at recently and following on things like Instagram. Oh, by the way, I got rid of my Facebook account, and I'll talk about that later, but I'm focused specifically now on Instagram and occasionally Twitter. But of course, follow me on sketchbook_audio. On Instagram, or you can follow this podcast account, Sketchbook Audio. Right now in the background, I've got Small Pools playing. It's an upbeat song. And today I do in fact feel like $1 million. So without further ado, let's talk about some of the art that has inspired or has been inspired by civil rights movements. A couple of the types of art that I'm going to be looking at range from poetry to photography to painting. And I want to start it out with this really beautiful photograph that shows a black woman and a black child standing on the side of a road in what looks like the 50s. And there's something about it that just captures the fact that there are no differences between one group and another. You know, there are cultural differences, sure. But as far as anything else, we're all humans. We're all part of one race. And this picture really shows that, I think. It's a very elegant photograph taken by Gordon Parks. And it is titled Department Store 1956. And another thing that it shows is we all do the same things. We all shop at stores. We all drive cars. We all are living our lives with money, with financial problems. There's no difference. The differences that we find are literally skin deep, and those shouldn't be differences that strike fear or cause anybody to think twice about something. It should be things that make us look at it and feel the beauty and the wonder in the color differences. So that's one thing that I love about this photograph, and he's one of the artists that came out of that movement. Joe Minter's Children in Jail from 2013. This picture illustrates, it looks like five children in what is basically a prison. Now, this artist took a form on a wall, which was the metal grates on a wall, and did some spray paint around it. And in a lot of the spray paints, it shows some Bible verses. We have Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A lot of words that inspire love and hope, freedom. And you see these children praying behind the bars. And basically, this was something that illustrates an incident that occurred on May 2nd, 1963, where over 1,000 students skipped school and took to the streets from the doors of the 16th Street Baptist Church, and for days faced police violence and dog attacks, brutal sprays of fire hoses, and mass arrests. I mean, it's just crazy to think that children would be so in tune with what's happening in their time that they would risk their lives, just as their parents probably were, to get a point across. And it breaks my heart to know that children are assaulted in the ways that they were, and then the ways that we've seen it in the news recently. There was an incident where an officer sprayed an 8 or a 10-year-old girl right in the face with mace. First and foremost, I don't think it's right to bring your children to a protest. If they show up, they show up. You know, sometimes you can't stop your kids from being curious. But that kid is, for all intents and purposes, innocent and does not deserve that kind of treatment. They might not even know what's really happening, or they might be smart enough to know exactly what's going on and they know what they're fighting for. But none of that matters. It is a child, and it's really brutal to think about that kind of injustice that happens, not just to children, but to African Americans or people of any color. Another artist we're looking at is this beautiful painting. I'm not much of an abstract artist. I typically don't find myself admiring it or being absorbed in it quite too often, but this one really got me, and it's partially because of the background behind it. And it's called Night Journey, and it's one of Frank Bowling's paintings from 1969. And it basically shows the struggle that African-Americans took, well, Africans at the time took, to get from Africa to the United States. And they were drawn from their homeland forcefully. So the paint, the colors, everything just shows this really passionate struggle, tumultuous and almost violent, that they had to endure to get from one place to the next. And, you know, some people might think that the environment that they came from was more savage than the environment they were brought into. And I don't know. I feel very differently about that. What we forced upon them versus what they were just living in as part of their environment, not their socio-political environment, but their actual earthly environment. Two very different things. And just the fact that people were forced from one thing to another, it's terrifying. But this painting does a great job of showing that struggle. And there are other artists that came out of this. You know, we have poets like Maya Angelou, and great wordsmiths, great stewards of civil rights like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, Rosa Parks, who all did phenomenal jobs in orchestrating movements for a better cause and in ways to unite people. From the music side of things, we have reggae music, and we think of you'll have to excuse me here for a second. I'm skipping a beat on Bob Marley. Bob Marley and his family that have done great things with their words, with music. And there's just so much beauty that comes out of pain sometimes. And we have the moral responsibility as stewards and surveyors of this artwork to find it in ourselves to empathize. You know, I'm a white individual. I'm Hispanic, but I am predominantly, I guess, white. And I can't understand the struggle, but I can empathize with my brothers and sisters as human beings and see that that's just not the way you treat people. Doesn't matter what the difference is. You just don't treat them with that level of hatred. It's not just disrespect, it's hatred. And how do we overcome that? And the beauty of art is there's so many different ways to show your feelings, your emotions, your concerns, your hopes. And as you can see, you know, just a simple Google search of art from civil rights movements. I'm looking up one right now, and if I just click on images, bear with me for a second. I'm just going to pull up a quick Google search here. I see the artwork here, and it's just so powerful. Whether it's powerful in the uniting force, love, or it's powerful in the hurt and the pain and the blatant suffering that people had to endure during those times. And, you know, we still see, you know, women's suffrage. We still have male to female inequalities today in the workforce and the workplace. And art does a phenomenal job of not only illustrating that, but helping to bring us together. And it definitely breaks boundaries. It eliminates the lines that people have put that don't need to be there. You can go to a museum and you can look at and admire work all the same, just eyes looking at one single thing. And then you can walk away with differences of opinions, but that's okay. Sometimes the artist wants you to have a difference of opinions. They want it to be subjective. You know, it's not just an objective purpose. Sure, the painting or the sculpture or the lyrics or the words in a poem have like a solid meaning, but a lot of it can be taken subjectively. And that's the beauty of art. Even in car design, where you're drawing literally just a car, there's some subjectivity to maybe the purpose, maybe the functionality, the color choices, the material, a lot of those things where it's good to have the differences of opinions and the variations of, you know, rationale behind everything. And I love that. That's the great thing about art. Let me, you know what? Here, I'm going to encourage you to just, if you're at home on your computer or you're at your desk or you're on your phone, take a moment to look up civil rights movement's artwork. A lot of it is abstract, and I've said before, I'm not super big on abstract art because sometimes some people take it a little too far, but again, it's all subjective, and it should be, you know, sometimes the artist and most artists want you to have that much of a polarizing differentiation of opinions. They want the I hate it and they want the I love it, and it, ultimately I get it or I don't get it, but let me learn. There's beauty in that. So take a moment to look up artwork from civil rights movements and then artwork that's happening today. One of the ones that's really powerful is the very colorful picture of President Barack Obama. And I'm going to look up I forget the artist's name, but I think the artist was from Detroit. And it was the Hope picture, where it was sort of a black, red, and blue, red, and like a pale, pale white, like off-white. It was Shepard Fairey, and it was his poster that captured President Barack Obama as a symbol of hope and change. And you know, there's the obvious—he was our first black president, but beyond that, he was one of the first presidents to really care about the people. And could I ever see him responding to what's happening today in the same way that our president is handling it right now? Absolutely not. But it might be because Barack Obama actually can empathize with what's going on right now. And I don't mean that just because he's black. I mean that because his personality allows him to empathize with people's hurt, people's problems, people's downfalls, the trials and tribulations that we're all going through. But for sure, absolutely, he can really understand the hurt and the struggle that a lot of Americans are dealing with today. So it sucks that we're having these riots and these protests, or it sucks that we have to have them, but we have to have them. We have to have change. We need to get towards that level of change. So if it's the protests that make it happen, great. If it's peaceful protest, mind you, or if it's the work we put into on pen and paper, in paint, in words, whatever it takes, that's the direction we need to be going. So I guess I'm trying to figure out in my life, how can I make a difference with my artwork, and especially for this movement? And it might be hard because I am not African American. However, I do share the same talent and skills with a lot of African Americans. In fact, I went to school with quite a few, and I see them as no different than my brothers and sisters, my friends, and I respect their artwork. I respect them as human beings, and I'm happy that I had the honor of working with them because I learned so much from them. And if you're not open to learning and to understanding different cultures, different beliefs, different talents, or the way people got their talents, then you're just a closed-minded individual, and that's not the way to be. So I guess what I could be doing and what I'm trying to do is offer the ability to teach. I saw in a live stream yesterday, somebody was asking another artist, can you teach me how to draw like you do? And that's a tough one because in a way, it almost sounds like you're asking for a favor. But at the same time, I appreciate it because you're wanting to learn and you're showing that drive and that desire to learn more and to better yourself. So for me, anytime anybody asks me, can you teach me? I just it naturally triggers in me the desire and the need and the want to help. So if ever anybody who's listening to this or anybody who goes on my Instagram or watches my live streams on Instagram, which again is sketchbook_audio. I'm happy to learn and teach however possible. In fact, I've had quite a few young individuals message me privately and ask me for a couple lessons or a couple overlays of their drawings. And I'm not the best in the world, but I'm willing to help. And it helps me evolve as an artist, but it also helps somebody else. So that's the purpose of Sketchbook Audio. And I would love it if anybody who's listening wants to send me a message and ask for some assistance. I'll gladly offer it. Don't worry about cost because I'm not. I will just offer it because I have my day job. But education and learning and experience, I think a lot of that sometimes should be free. Now, there are some situations where it does call for, a small fee. Oh, if I'm teaching a class, if my job is being a teacher, or if, I'm tutoring or something. But if you just need help on the side real quick with an overlay, absolutely. Shoot me a message. I will gladly do it. Or if you would like me to do like a training session on sketchbook_audio on Instagram, I will do a live stream and we will work through whatever issue you're having. I will try to address it as best as I can. And if I don't have the answer for it, I can gladly point you in the right direction. And speaking of which, I mentioned that I wanted to talk about some of the artists that I have been following on Instagram lately, and I'm going to go ahead and list off a few of them because I do respect the art here. Now, I might butcher some of these names, and I apologize, but definitely go check them out on Instagram because their work is phenomenal. So the first one is Maun_Maun, and that's spelled Maun_Maun. This gentleman does a great job, and lately with 3D modeling, but lately he's been focused on the new Ford Bronco that is yet to be revealed. But for all intents and purposes, this guy has pretty much revealed everything that you would need to know about the new upcoming Bronco. And while it's not quite the vehicle I was hoping for, the way he's illustrated it, it gives me a little bit more of a perspective that I respect this vehicle a lot more, especially his truck. He's got a four-door truck version where I think the proportions on it work a little bit better than the Gladiators, although I'm a Jeep fan through and through, so it would be hard to sway me away from the Jeep Gladiator. However, he does a great job with taking vehicles that already exist or vehicles that are near completion. So he takes a lot of spy shots and a lot of details he finds, and he puts them together. He's got a Jurassic Park stylized Bronco here. He puts a lot of aftermarket accessories on the vehicles. And then he does a really good job of rendering these vehicles in actual environments where they would be used. In fact, he's got one where he rendered the Bronco in the Ford plant where they build the Ranger, where they will be building the Bronco, or they are building the Bronco. And it's very fitting. So check him out. Another artist is a good friend of mine. His name is David, and David's Instagram is Nemo Junglist. And let me spell that out for you. That's N-E-M, as in Mary, O-J-U-N-G-L-I-S-T. Nemo Junglist. Nemo is a very talented artist, and he's also a DJ. So with him, he brings music, color, bright colors, and a lot of enthusiasm and passion for the automotive industry. So check him out. He's had a couple of his works published. He does a really good job with doing photo chops, which are basically taking, for instance, he took the new Chevy C8 Corvette, and he added a much more aggressive aero package, lowered it, and he just took an already stellar design and just brought it to 11. He also has some very interesting takes on Aston Martins and his seemingly favorite, the Nissan Fairlady Z, or just in general, the Nissan GTRs and the Skylines. He also does a really good job with taking, and you can actually message him for some commissions, but if you have an idea for something that you want as like a SEMA show car, that's S-E-M-A, Special Equipment Manufacturing, I forget what the A stands for, but association maybe, but he will take your car and he will turn it into the dream car that you're hoping to show off at a car show like SEMA, which is in Las Vegas in November, I believe. So check him out. Good friend. And I really love the work that he's been putting out. Another one that I would highly recommend following is, and I have to find some of these. I've actually just started following him recently, but I really like his style. He does monsters and creatures for video games and for concept art. But the way he draws things is very quick and but very detailed. He gets a lot of detail in a very short amount of time. And it's the way he uses his brushstrokes so meticulously. I love it. But it's not meticulous in the sense that it's exact. It's messy, but it's dirty and it's gritty, and I love it. But he still brings out these beautiful designs. So his Instagram account is Video Game Artist, I believe. I'm going to double check that. Yep, it'd be great if I can spell Video Game. Yep, here we go. It's Video Game Artist 1321. His name is Arthur Rodriguez. He works for WB Games, and he does some sick monster creations and dinosaurs and dragons and things just out of your nightmares. It's really, really great work. And if you watch some of his videos, you can see how quickly he gets things done on a paper. And but it's amazing how much detail, how much of the story he tells in such a little bit of time. So definitely check him out, especially if you like monsters and concept art and stuff like that, which interestingly enough, that was what I was originally going for, was concept art for video games. Just didn't pan out quite the way I was hoping. Daniel Simon is another person to follow on Instagram, and just his artwork in general. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us, but Sid Mead, great artist, highly respected. I love that guy. And when I got the chance to meet him, it was a dream come true. So definitely check him out. There was this one guy I started following recently, and his art is just weird, but he's more of a, so he takes what the video game artist guy does and he refines it to perfection. Not that either one is right or wrong necessarily. It's just one is a very clean, elegant, takes hours and hours and hours to work on, and the other one is elegant and dirty and a lot of detail in a little bit of time. So I'm trying to think, you know what, I can't remember his thing right now, but I will tag some of these people in a post shortly here on Instagram. So that's again, sketchbook_Instagram. Another artist that I really appreciate is Sevra. You can just look them up at sevra.art. That's sevra.art on Instagram. Again, concept artist, beautiful monsters and creatures. Really like their work. I wish I could figure out where this one person is. Another friend of mine that I went to school with at the Cleveland Institute of Art, Jennifer Bogger. Let me see if I can find her name. I think her name is Designer Jen. Sorry, I accidentally pushed the end button there. So we're picking back up. The person I was referring to was Designer Jen. That's her Instagram name, designer_Jen. She's a good friend of mine from the Cleveland Institute of Art. She now works for FCA, and she really loves classic cars. But she also has a very traditional artist background. So she knows how to draw things like people, skeletons, animals. She's really good with people. She's also a very talented car designer. So FCA is very lucky to have her as a teammate there. And I can't wait to see what vehicles she puts her name on in the future. If you know anything about the Chrysler Portal concept, she worked on the exterior and the interior, I believe. I think mostly interior, but I'll have to double check my facts there. If anybody wants to fact check me, her name is Jen Bogger. Just a phenomenal artist and a good friend. Another person who also works at FCA. Gosh, I know so many people that work at FCA that their artwork is just great. Irina is a painter, and her paintings can be found in some very amazing places in Detroit. And her work is just stellar, just awesome. She mostly paints sceneries and environments, but she also paints cars and a lot of classic cars, more so than more modern cars. But if you want a really good painting in your house that's of a scenery like a lighthouse or someplace in Italy, like, or a bridge like London Bridge, definitely check out Irina. Irina_Z_J. And then the last person I'll mention is this guy. He works for Rivian, which is a company in Plymouth, Michigan. They are making electric vehicles, notably the R1S and the R1T, which will probably hit the streets sometime early next year, hopefully at the end of this year, but it's looking more likely next year. But his Instagram is host epm, host epm. His name is Paul Host. But check his work out because the guy is phenomenal. Very clean work, very stylized. I love it. Paul Host, H-O-S-T-E. So his Instagram name is Host, H-O-S-T-E-P-M. And again, he is a designer at Rivian. I believe interior design. No, it just says car designer. I don't remember if he... I'm going to go ahead and guess he's exterior because most of his work on Instagram is exterior. But I love his space vehicles, his weird futuristic space vehicles, especially his Mars Racer that he did for the Mars Racer Challenge. That's a really cool one. But man, there's so many great artists that I follow, and I hope you guys will follow them as well. I had some fashion designers on here too that I really like. It's good to know and be well-versed in a bunch of different kind of arts. Don't just focus on car design because cars aren't just shapes and forms. They are, you know, something, a functional shape and form. They also have a lot to do with the colors and the materials and the textures. And speaking of textures, one texture that I've really appreciated of late is Kia and what they're doing with their grills. If you look at the Kia Seltos and you look at the grill surround, it's not just a flat silver bezel. There's intricate detail. It's almost like a diamond etch, a diamond kind of pattern. But it goes beyond the traditional honeycomb texture. And it's not super uniform either. It's really cool. So definitely check out the Kia Seltos grill. I've posted a couple pictures on Instagram already about it, but I would definitely take a look at that. Also, Lexus has done a really good job with their grills and how much detail they've put into there, but also on their seats and their fabrics. One company that is really good with their seat material is Citroën and Peugeot. Two companies that they're both French, and they do a phenomenal job of not just giving us a flat seat texture. And it's not even just the traditional quilted or pleated seat textures. It's just really, really good. Fiat does a really good job of it too, although it doesn't proliferate through all of their models. It's just on special editions. So the new Fiat 500 that just was revealed for Europe, it's a Fiat 500e. That one has a lot of texture, a lot of really good material choices. And then the Urbana editions that they brought here to the U.S., just really cool, unique designs. And I wish they would do more of those and not just give us this plain, flat leather surface. I like a little bit of texture, and not just the texture, the natural texture, the grain of leather, but something where they brought the natural, the organic together with the technical and stamped in some really cool things. You can do a lot of really interesting things with leather now, especially synthetic leathers. You can burn in textures. For instance, the Ram Rebel has a really cool, it's basically tire tread. Kind of, I don't know exactly how they do it, but I'm guessing it's kind of heat treated into the seat, and really cool. I love it. I'll actually see if I can post it up on Instagram if I can find a good image, and I will post it so you guys know what I'm talking about. So I do have a little bit of time left here. I want to go over some stuff that has happened in the news. Not a lot because, again, we're still sort of on a lockdown, and a lot of companies are pushing back the reveals, but there have been some minor details that are trickling out here and there, and there was one... Oh, here's the one I really want to talk about. It's the BMW 4 Series. Now, I really like BMW, and I really like where they're going post Chris Bangle design language. Now, Chris Bangle didn't have bad design language, in my opinion. I liked a lot of his work, including the 6 Series. I thought that was a beautiful car. But newer, later BMW models have really gone away from the classic and have thrown in a lot more design. Some people might call it overstyled, and some people might say that it's subdued enough that it's still cool. But the BMW 4 Series is rather controversial because BMW already has a weird grill, and it's the dual kidney grill. But the M4 did something that they took from their 4 concept that they showed last year. And a lot of people, it was so polarizing that it kind of pissed people off, I think, especially people who are diehard BMW enthusiasts. And it just gave the kidney grill something that's massive. It's blown out of proportions, we'll say. It's almost cartoonish. And BMW did do something similar with the X7 and the X5. And some people, you know, said that that was too much. They wanted the smaller kidney grill. And I'll give BMW credit. They tried something that's just so left field. And it works in some of their trim levels, but I'm not too keen on some of their other trim levels. It just doesn't look right. It just looks like these, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's just there's so much space that is now being absorbed by the grill that I think they could have done something a little bit different. Now, interestingly enough, a couple artists took it upon themselves to fix that problem, and they have some renditions. So if you go up on autoblog.com, you can see some artists that tried to fix that problem. I'll see if I can find these pictures and post them up on Instagram as well. And let me know what you think. Do you like what BMW did themselves, or would you prefer a smaller grill? I, for one, like what the artists did with their rendition, but I do like one of the trim levels, and I can't remember which one it is, but not all of them look horrible. Some of them look good. I really like the BMW 2 Series, and even though they call it a Grand Coupe, which I think is silly, I do like what they did with the front end of that vehicle and just the vehicle overall. The last bit of news I want to talk about real quick is it looks like the Bronco is finally getting an official, hopefully in cement, reveal date, and that's sometime in July. So we only have a month to go, and we should be seeing the official Ford Bronco. Now, it doesn't say whether or not that's the Bronco and the Bronco Sport, or just the Bronco, or just the Bronco Sport, but there are two different Broncos. It's kind of like the Nissan Rogue and the Rogue Sport. There's one that's bigger, and then there's one that's smaller. The Bronco Sport is based off of the EcoSport, so it's less capable in a way, kind of like how the Wrangler and the Renegade, they kind of look similar. They're both boxy, but the Renegade is probably a little bit less capable than a Wrangler. But then you have the Wrangler, which is balls to the walls off-road capability, and the Bronco will be the one that takes from that. I will mention this one because it got me kind of excited. Alfa Romeo will be showing off a Tonale official vehicle sometime, hopefully this year. And it might just ride on a Peugeot EV architecture. And what does that mean? Well, Peugeot's already got a few vehicles that are EV electric vehicles or plug-in or battery electric vehicles. And the first one will be the Tonale. It's pronounced Tonale. It's spelled T-O-N-A-L-E. It's a B-segment crossover that should be out. The B-segment is the one that's smaller. That'll be out in 2022. And then the C segment, which is the Tonale, will be revealed or in on the market in 2021. Now, their concept model, while the exterior was very doable, very plausible, it had a couple styling things that were, you know, they were definitely conceptual, but the interior just was all out conceptual, and I love it. And the thing I love the most about it is the fact that when you think of Alfa Romeo, you think of probably sex, I'm not going to lie, but sexy Italian and your blood and your heart beating and racing and just being very organic and fun to drive. The character is pure Italian. And what they did with the interior, I really like this door panels and the center console because they have this sort of muscle. It looks like a blood flowing through muscle and sinew. It's really cool. You can almost imagine that pulsating like a heart would. And, you know, as you're flooring this car or any other Alfa Romeo, you get that adrenaline rush. So they did a really good job with that. But I'm imagining that most of the overall design language from the interior could carry over easily, because it's very similar to the Giulia and the Stelvio, but you got to scale it down quite a bit to fit in a compact car. So how they end up doing that is yet to be seen. Although there are some leaked pictures of some interior design studies that were shown to a clinic. Supposedly they have since changed quite a few things since that clinic. But that's okay, because what I saw there, I really liked. If they decide to take it any further, I hope they incorporate some of these conceptual design themes. Especially because, you know, we're talking about texture. The material, it's almost like a bioluminescent material with the weird lines that are geometric, but also kind of remind me of scales or, I don't even know. It's just a really cool texture, and I hope that makes its way into the final model. But anyways, that's all I got for Sketchbook Audio today. Like always, especially in today's climate, be good to one another. Go out and help somebody if you can. We're still dealing with COVID, so don't think that's over. Hopefully everybody's still wearing their masks and keeping up with social distancing, especially since we're doing all these protests and a lot of stores and restaurants are opening back up. So just keep that in mind. It's not just about yourself right now. It's about everybody else around you. And we need to put self aside and take on the mantle of community. And that's part of what social distancing is all about, is protecting your neighbor, not just yourself, and your family for that matter. But also, you know, we need to learn to be less about the self. Now, don't take that as you shouldn't take care of yourself. If you can't take care of yourself, it's harder to take care of somebody else. So if you don't love yourself, it's really hard to show that kind of love that you should be showing to somebody else. So love yourself and then love thy neighbor. And I went a little bit biblical on you there, but listen, it makes a world of a difference. So whether you go out and protest, don't riot, please don't riot. But if you go out and protest, do it with peace and respect and arms in arms with your brothers and sisters that are next to you. You could even take the time to go out and clean up after some of these protests have gone on, because unfortunately the police are kicking everybody out at a certain point in time and it leaves a bit of a mess in the streets. So I would highly recommend that. I'm actually going to probably do that this week here in California. And then make sure you get out your sketchbooks. Now is the time to be learning something new, to try something different, to go outside of your comfort zone. And it only makes you better. So do that. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and enjoy your week if you're listening to this tomorrow. And thank you for tuning in to Sketchbook Audio. I'm your host, Ryan Sketch. Till next time.